I'm Don Fierstead on 96.9, and you are listening to KDLO Outdoors. Well, now we travel down to the Game Fish and Parks offices in Sioux Falls. Biologist Dave Lucchese. And Dave, from Brookings South, any lakes standing out for fishermen?
You know, probably the standout in our region down here right now is Lake Thompson, and I think they're still picking up some limits of walleyes out on Thompson right now. It's been a pretty good bite from what I've heard. So that would be one to try down here. I guess I've also heard Albert is still putting out some fish. It sounds like those bigger fish they were catching earlier, those 20-inch plus fish, they're getting pretty hard to catch right now. But they still are picking up some keeper walleyes out there, and so that might be worth a try. I also did hear a report off of the Oakwoods. Things have definitely slowed down, guys that are going out are picking up a walleye or two a trip, and of course they're pretty nice fish. So that lake is still going. Sinai, East-West 81 have been pretty quiet. Friend was out on West 81 in a kayak, and I think picked up just one fish, but it was 24 inches, that walleye, so that was a pretty good fish. Madison Lake seemed to have quieted down. Have not heard much on those bodies of water. Further south, down by Humboldt, Beaver Lake's been very good. I guess they've been picking up some limits of walleyes on Beaver, and they're pretty nice fish. So if you're down around the Sioux Falls area, that might be a lake to try.
This time of the year, test netting. Any lakes in your region recently?
Yeah, you know, we just did the surveys on Lake Albert, and that lake looks pretty good. Good numbers of walleyes in our nets, a nice catch of yellow perch, some pike, and then Lake Campbell, and that was hot earlier this year, and it looks like that lake still also has a pretty good walleye population in it. So I would think that those lakes would continue to be good, possibly again this fall or into next year.
And then water levels, kind of consistent or anything dropping dramatically?
You know, it's variable around the region. I got to think that Thompson, you know, that northwestern portion of our region water levels were down last year, and I can't see where they've probably come up a ton. You know, some areas close around Sioux Falls, our water levels are in pretty good shape. But you know, I think that we're starting to see some of those effects from the drought.
Dave Lucchese, biologist out of the Brookings and Sioux Falls offices. Thank you. Well, now we head up to the Watertown offices of Game, Fish, and Parks. Conservation Officer Bryce McVicker. And Bryce, I guess right here by Watertown, the three or four main lakes, Dry, Compesca, Pelican, Goose Lake, have they been busy or were they busy in the last week?
We did see a fair amount of boating pressure out on Compesca about every morning over the 4th of July weekend. Well over a dozen fishing boats out there before 8 a.m., doing pretty good, pretty active, not a whole lot of keepers, but everybody seemed to be picking up some smaller walleye. Everybody seemed to be catching some white bass. And then there was some folks that were targeting crappie, and they did pretty good as well.
How about goose or pelican or dry?
Goose was the busiest of any of the lakes this weekend. They did really good out there on Saturday. It kind of tapered off as it got warmer throughout the weekend. But really quality fish out there. The ramp's been the busiest it's been since we put that in last August. Just a reminder to everybody that we've got leased up there about 5 acres of good grass parking lot, and we want people to park on the grass. The gravel is there as kind of a landing area to get your boats prepped and get them in and out of the water. So the more people that park on the gravel, the less room there is there to get in and out.
Lake Ponset or Albert?
Yeah, they've both been pretty good as well. Ponset's still kind of that broken record of go down and catch a bunch of walleye, but most of them are going to be short. So that's still the same thing there. Albert's really slowing down. You're probably going to get a few keepers there, but they're going to be bigger fish, 18 to 20, and then probably a fish over 20.
And then over in Clark County, any lakes?
Clark County wasn't nearly as busy as we expected over the holiday weekend, but Dry Lake Number 2 did have some traffic on it. Maybe a few keepers per person, per boat. That was good, probably the best on Saturday, and that tapered off as well as it got windier and warmer throughout the holiday weekend.
And in the region, your region here, basically from Brookings to Aberdeen, no casualties, any accidents for boating?
Yeah, like you said, main thing is we didn't have any fatalities. We did have a couple reportable injury boating accidents in the region. We want that number to be zero, but it was fairly low. As far as alcohol violations, those were probably pretty average, so we'd like to see that number come down as well. But overall, we'll probably call the weekend a success since we avoided any casualties here in the 13 counties in the Northeast South Dakota.
And last thing, Bryce, it's sign-up time for Hunt Safe courses. How do they go on? What do you know the web address offline?
I do.
Okay.
Yep. There's another big sign-up here coming in. As we get into August, you're going to see a whole lot more Hunt Safe classes posted. If you go to the website, gamefishandparks.sd.gov, you'll be able to click on the Outdoor Learning tab. Scroll down to Hunter Education, and then there will be a drop-down box with all the towns in South Dakota that are offering Hunt Safe classes. Find a town near you, click on that, and it will list the times and dates of the upcoming classes through the end of the year.
Thank you for all the info. Bryce McVicker, CEO out of the Watertown Game Fish and Parks office. Now we head out to Gettysburg, west of Gettysburg, Whitlock Bay. Are you pro guide Chuck Krause? And Chuck, with the heat, what's the water temp and are the fish going deep yet?
Well, on some days, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a hot day for them to go deep, it doesn't seem like. But yeah, our water temp yesterday, I don't think I've ever seen it quite that warm. We had 74.5. Degree water, so that surface water. Never seen it that warm, and fish are starting to head pretty deep. We're not messing around with any crankbait going out in that real deep water. I know some guys for the Woodlock tournament are kind of playing around with that and catching a few bigger fish doing that. We had a pretty good catch the day before yesterday in that 24 to 35 foot range. Went back yesterday and there wasn't nothing to be caught. Had to struggle pretty hard to get a half a dozen fish in the boat yesterday and caught a lot of little ones that we didn't have the day before. So every day it's a little bit different, a little bit of a bite going. I mean, you can come out and catch some fish, but some days it's kind of easy and some days you got to work pretty hard.
And you need rain out there to get out of that severe drought.
Oh, it's terribly dry. I don't think in all the years I've been out here I've ever seen it this dry. And then a couple of weeks ago on top of everything, we even had a frost. So what isn't droughted out got froze, and now it's really, really struggling. We missed all these last rains that came through. We missed all those. We had a few drops last night, but not enough to do any good at all.
Chuck Krause, pro guide out at the Lake Wahi. Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more KDLO Outdoors.
Well, now on the phone from Pierce, South Dakota, Buddy Siner. And Buddy's working maybe a dream he's had in the last few years, but doing online fish stories. And Buddy, what brought you to this point, or what made up your mind to maybe do this?
Well, Don, there's a few reasons why I wanted to create fishstories.org. And the first reason is I just miss talking with my grandpa. You know, he passed away in 2011, 2012, and he told some great stories. You know, he didn't talk a lot. He was a hard-headed Norwegian farmer from Spearfish, South Dakota. He didn't talk a lot, but when we did have conversations at his kitchen table, it usually led back to fishing because he knew I loved it and something we shared in common. And so I miss hearing his voice. I miss hearing those stories. And it's been a few years now. I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking someone needs to create an archive, or someone needs to create something where anglers can leave their voice and leave their stories. And finally, just this year, I decided if I'm not going to do it, who is? So I took the initiative. I quit my job, and I'm doing this full time. I'm just out trying to record people, and I hope to make a living of it eventually. I'm building this archive online for people to leave their legacies and to leave their voices and their wisdom and their experiences for future generations to listen to.
How would you contact the people? I mean, it's almost an array of all facets of life. From people, I mean, do people nominate or say, hey, you should talk to this person, or how could someone get a hold of you?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Don. So, first of all, I believe that all fishing stories deserve to be told. I think that they're all important. I think they all have a place, whether they're 2 minutes long or an hour long. And the storyteller themselves is the best person to tell that story. So I'm only one person. I can't get out and record everyone. So part of what fishstories.org will become is going to allow the angling community to tell their own stories. You know, you can tell it, you can record your voice and get really good audio right from your smartphone. And so I'm really going to encourage people to record on their smartphone. Eventually we'll have an app that will make it really easy for people to record and then submit it into the archive, and then it'll be stored forever. You can listen to it whenever you want, share it with your friends and family. But yes, for now, while I'm out recording, if you know of someone who has a great story to tell, they can just email us at story@fishstories.org and let us know what the story is and why they think it's important.
Buddy, could they also call you if they want some more information or maybe give you a tip about somebody?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would welcome that. Actually, they can call my cell phone, to tell you the truth, if they want to let me know about a great person, and that number is 605-222-9706. Fishstories.org is just a landing page right now, but it will have a lot more information. It will have a voicemail line where you can call and leave us a voicemail, and it'll have instructions on the easiest way to record your voice and record the voice of someone else and submit it into the archive. So once that's up and running here, hopefully in about a month, it will make it a lot easier for people, fishstories.org.
Well, Buddy Seiner, I enjoyed visiting with you, and why don't you make a note to yourself to give me a call sometime in September? Let's follow up on this and see how things are progressing.
I'd like that, Don, and hopefully I can record you and get a story from you for the archives.
Buddy, thank you. Now we travel up Webster Game Fish and Parks, Dr. Brian Blackwell, biologist, and as far as opets, bitter, wabe, the standouts, how do they align up this week?
Yeah, I would say those are the three most popular waters. Bitter continues to be the best spikes we're seeing. I would say a lot of pressure on bitter now. People tend to be catching walleyes, and it's kind of a similar pattern as we've seen in past years. Some fish are shallow, some fish are deeper, but a lot of times they're going to be relating to those weed lines. So we're definitely seeing some walleyes caught there. I would say opets would probably be the second one. The better the bites. Still a fair number of fish under 15 inches, but they are catching usually their two fish over 15 inches each day. And then wabe slowed down somewhat from what I saw in the creel. But yeah, we're still catching a few fish on wabe, but I think pressure definitely has dropped off wabe as well.
Lynn Lakes and the other lakes up there, Hazleton, Lardy, anything else going or getting pressure?
Yeah, there's some activity on land. I continue to see a fair number of bigger walleyes caught on land. I don't think numbers wise they're catching a lot of fish, but they're catching some larger fish, as well as a few some muskies mixed in. I've seen some pretty good pictures of muskies coming off land, so that looks pretty encouraging. Other lakes in that area, I really haven't heard too much. I think it's just a matter of people getting out and trying.
Anything on the rest of them from horseshoe over to antelope to, enemy, blue dog, pickerel?
Yeah, blue dogs had some activity as far as anglers go, but the bites really slowed down. They're catching probably a few walleyes in there, but I think it's definitely slowed down from what it was a month ago. Enemy swim, fair number of people up there over the weekend, a lot of, just pleasure. waters that and on pickerel. On enemy, you know, there's a few bluegills being caught. It really hasn't taken off yet. Probably as we progress in the summer, that bluegill bite should improve. Some bass being caught, and as well as a few walleyes on enemy. Pickerel, people I've talked to, it sounds like a mixed bag. You catch a lot of fish up there, including some walleyes, as well as some smallmouth bass, maybe a perch or a bluegill as well.
You know, Chuck Kraus mentioned 74.5 degrees out at the river, so that some of our lakes and smaller ones have to be approaching 80. Is that a time when it's really banging out the oxygen, in your opinion?
Yeah, in this time of year, yeah, we can have some pretty good swings in oxygen levels. You know, especially, you know, during the day when we got that sunlight hitting the water, there's a lot of photosynthesis going on, a lot of oxygen produced. And then we get those big swings at night when we lose the sun, those plants start using oxygen instead of producing it, and we can have some pretty low these dissolved oxygen levels, you know, right away in the morning. And, you know, that's potential for some fish kills. A lot of times we'll see them in isolated areas. But, yeah, definitely we start seeing some of these, you know, big swings in oxygen. There's potential for some fish kills.
Dr. Brian Blackwell, biologist out of the Webster Game Fish and Parks, thank you. Well, now we travel up to Big Stone Lake, South Dakota side, down at Schmidt's Landing. And, well, since last week, have you had a few good days of fishing when they can get out?
Yes. Actually, we've had, this would be our sixth day in a row where we've had beautiful weather. Great for the water recreation people that were here over the holiday. A lot of tubers, skiers, swimmers, all of that. But also been great for the fishermen. With number of fishermen out there, improves the fishing report because you hear more. They've been pulling crankbaits. That has started now for some walleyes and some nice perch. The weeds have started to disappear in that Hartford Beach area on the South Dakota side. So anglers were able to put together some nice catches of fish. And then the little perch have started. Some people have started playing around with some spikes and some of those traditional perch spots and picking up some little perch that run 6-8 inches. Nothing really huge to bag about yet, but it's encouraging to see that all coming together.
And as far as weeds, are they still some fishermen trying to slip bobbers or fish alongside or in or on top of them?
Exactly. Trying that too. When they got a favorite spots that are inundated with weeds, they're being creative, finding pockets in the weeds to cast up there or pitch a jig up in the hole or slip bobber, just like you said, and are able to get a few fish that way. It is encouraging to see the weeds start to disappear. Sounds like the south end of the lake is pretty weed-choked, but that's pretty common for Big Stone this time of year. We're getting some more fishable water again as those weeds disappear.
Well, Don at Schmidt's Landing at Big Stone Lake, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
This has been Don Fierstead with KDLO Outdoors. Listen each and every Thursday for all your hunting and fishing information throughout eastern South Dakota, western Minnesota, and out at the Missouri River. KDLO Outdoors, each and every Thursday.